It's time to join the American Family Robinson in Centerville. In our last program, Gus Olson, a boondoggler by trade, was added to the staff of the Herald under the sponsorship of Miss McGillicuddy, who wishes to reform him. He came in very handily when Editor Luke found it necessary to bounce Windy Bill out of the office. Windy became obstreperous when he found himself hoaxed by one of his own tricks. Miss Timmons has her property back, and Windy finds himself stuck with the house car, homeless and no visible means of support. As we look into the Robinson household today, we find excitement in the air. Luke is trying to give an imitation of a man engrossed in his newspaper, but he is stealing glances at the clock. Mrs. Robinson can be heard from another room.
Luke, you'd better come and get dressed. It's almost time.
Oh, we got plenty of time. Anyway, I am dressed.
Well, you needn't shout, dear.
Well, how did I know you were sneaking up behind me?
Luke, you mustn't get irritable. Well, it is trying, waiting for trains to come in. I always get flustered, too.
Flustered? Huh. Why, I'm not the least bit flustered. Women get flustered. A mere train coming in isn't...
All right, you're not flustered, but you barely have time to get dressed.
Oh, but Myra, I told you, I even shouted it. I am dressed, my dear, fully and completely.
In the most disreputable suit you've got. Now, there's a nicely pressed fresh one all laid out for you. Now, do be good and put it on.
Well, I didn't get the impression that this was to be a sartorial affair. I think Betty and Dick will recognize me, even in my old clothes.
Well, now, it isn't every day that you welcome your daughter and son-in-law home from their honeymoon, and, oh, well, I'm sure it would please them.
Oh, all right, I'll do it. What time's the train get in?
I've told you and told you. It's five something.
There you are. You don't know. Now, if it's 5:05, I haven't time to change. And if it's 5:50, well, I can finish reading my paper.
Well, I'll look it up. Now, where did I put that telegram?
Here. I'll help you look for it.
Never mind. You run along. Oh, I found it.
Yeah, all right.
Why, that's funny. Luke!
What's the matter? Did we miss it?
Oh, my eyes. Why, everything is all blurred. I can't see.
Well, that's probably because you got my glasses on. Here, let me read it.
Oh, well, you know, I never was so frightened. I thought I was going blind. Just because I'm excited, I suppose.
It's 5:20. Well, now, I don't know. That's hardly enough time to get...
Oh, Luke Robinson, you're more of a kid than Bob is. Not another word now.
I'm going. By the way, where is Bob?
Well, he's going to meet us at the station. He said he'd have a surprise.
Yeah, it'll be a surprise to me if he gets there.
Why, of course he'll get there. Oh, dear, I do hope Betty likes the curtains. That's my surprise for her.
What curtains?
For her house, of course. I just got them hung yesterday.
Well, why shouldn't she like them?
Well, I'm not sure about the color. They're yellow with green drapes. But she may... Oh, Luke, you haven't finished dressing yet.
But you wanted to talk to me, didn't you?
No, of course not. I was talking at you. You should know the difference by now.
Yes, my dear.
They look very pretty, though. What'd you say, dear?
I merely said that that's just dandy.
Oh, Luke, are you going to run in here every 5 minutes?
Well, it's all right. I'm all ready.
Oh, good. Now, we'd better walk up the corner to get a cab.
Yeah.
That's quicker than calling up. Uh-huh. Oh, Luke, I forgot my bag.
Oh, you don't need a bag. You're not going to buy anything.
Oh, well, all right. But, you know, I feel funny without it.
Hey, cab! Here. This is lucky.
Yes.
The station. Have you got the time?
I got 5:18.
5:18. Myra, that clock was slow.
Oh, my. I must have forgotten to wind it. Oh, hurry and get in.
Yeah. Driver.
Yeah?
We got to make it by 5:20.
Okay.
There. You see, Myra? If you hadn't made me change my clothes...
Oh, don't worry, Luke. We'll make it all right.
Well, maybe not all right, but we ought to make it. Driver, we'd just as soon arrive all in one piece.
Well, you said you wanted to make it.
It's all right, Myra. We missed it by 2 inches.
Oh.
It was only a streetcar.
Oh,
anyway. My,
this is awful.
Rather stiff price to pay for appearing as the glass of fashion.
Oh, don't, Luke. You know, if anything happens, I'd feel it was my fault.
Yeah, if you can feel anything.
Oh, here comes another one.
Don't look. You know, it's better not to know what hit you. It's wonderful how a man like that one is willing to risk his life for a few cents and an ideal.
Oh, that driver couldn't have any ideals.
Sure he has. He thinks he's Paul Revere.
Oh, don't be funny at a time like this. Is the end in sight?
Now you can open your eyes. We're here. And train. The train's just coming in.
Oh, well, tip him well, Luke. After all, he did make an effort.
Yeah, that's an understatement. How much, driver?
35 cents.
Oh, my goodness.
What's the matter?
Left my money and my other clothes.
Myra,
will you...
But I can't, dear. I didn't bring my bag.
Look here, driver. I'm Luke Robinson, editor of the Herald.
Yeah, well, I'm Terry F.X. Mulvaney, and I want my fare.
All right. Now, if you just wait here...
I'll just go along, if you don't mind.
That'll be jolly. Come on, Myra.
Well, what's all this crowd? And the fireman's band?
I don't know.
Well,
probably a congressman coming in to round up the faithful for a new attack on the Treasury.
Hey, Mom. Hey,
yes?
Oh, there you are.
Gee, I thought you were never going to get here.
So did we.
Well, how do you like it? Pretty swell, huh? They haven't got off yet. Boy, will they be surprised.
Now, wait a minute. What's swell?
Well, the band. I did it for Betty and Dick.
Oh.
I told the boys I'd give them a big write-up in the Herald. They were glad to do it.
Oh, my sainted aunt.
Hey, listen, about that.
Oh, there's somebody getting off. Is that Dick?
Yeah, that's him in a 10-gallon hat.
Yes. Sure,
oh, there comes Betty.
Yes.
Okay, boys, let her go.
Hello!
Hey, what's going on?
Mom, I can't hear you.
What did you say?
That blasted racket.
I said hello.
You have to talk louder.
It's no use. We'll just have to.
What did you say?
Oh, confound it. I said hello. Well, I mean hello.
Oh, hello.
Say, what is all this?
Why, it's for you. Go ahead and make a speech, Dick.
What?
A speech. You got to make a speech.
All right, then. Thanks, boys. I don't know how to thank you, but it's swell. And I certainly appreciate your coming down here like this. And I know Mrs. Collins appreciates it. All I can say is that...
We'll have to get out of this.
Come on.
Follow me.
All right. Oh, and to think I always wondered what it felt like to be met with a brass band.
Well, now you know.
Pretty swell, huh? I did it.
Colossal, wasn't it, Dick? Hey, what's the matter? Can't you talk?
Sure, I've been talking for hours.
Good heavens, Dick. You didn't actually make a speech, did you?
I did so. My first speech, and nobody even heard it.
Here's a fountain. You better drink some water.
Just the same, it's awfully good to have you children back. Why, it seems...
Hey, listen, you. Are you trying to give me the runaround? How about my fare?
Oh, yes, of course. Well, I'll tell you, we'll take your cab back to the house, and I'll settle with you then.
Oh, I drove Dick's car down. Pay him off, Dad, and we'll all ride home together.
Yes, that'll be much nicer. There's plenty of room.
that'll be fine. Bob, you got any money?
Oh, me?
What's the trouble?
Well, I changed my clothes, and I didn't change my change. That is, I...
Oh, well, say, I've got it. Here, how much is it?
50 cents with time charges.
Okay, there you are.
Thanks, Governor. Hey, you're regular.
Come on, people. The car's over here.
Well, all right.
This is rather an unfortunate start as a father-in-law. I assure you, this isn't a precedent.
Well, I'm not worried. After all, you're my boss, too. I'll put it in my expense account.
Well, the old bus. What do you know? And looking pretty well, too. Except for that fender.
That's a slight accident.
Yeah.
Oh, you can bend it up with a hammer. Come on, pile in.
Oh, right. Bob, you should have had that fixed.
Oh, never mind. It's not bad.
You know, I can't wait to hear about your trip. How was Devil's Gulch?
Ask Dick. He's the big hero of Devil's Gulch.
Oh, it was great. And I've come to the conclusion that horseback riding is the sport of kings.
What's that?
Gee, that's funny. That couldn't be out of gas. Gosh, I put a whole gallon in yesterday.
It is out of gas, and it's not funny. You'll have to walk up to the nearest gas station and have them come and get us.
Well, anyway, this gives us a chance to tell you all about our trip. Here, if I can get this bag open, Mother, I'll show you the pictures we took.
Oh,
I'd
love to see them. Well,
Dick, did you succeed in forgetting the Herald and all its works out there?
Oh, no. I picked up some great stuff at Devil's Gulch and on the train, too.
Hmm.
You know, I believe the American people are really beginning to think seriously.
Yeah, trust a reporter to get interviews on his vacation. Well, what are they thinking about?
Well, I talked to a lot of farmers, and
You know, I had the idea that if anybody would be pleased with the present trend towards socialism, they would be. Almost every plan that comes along includes some sort of bonus for farmers. But I found out they're just as uncertain of the future as businessmen are.
Well, that leaves the experimenters almost alone in their enthusiasm. Tell me, why do the farmers object to easy money?
The far-sighted ones say that some of the present policies are causing the decline of our food exports, while we're importing more foodstuffs than at any time in years.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Case of putting money into their hands and then taking it out of their pockets by shutting off their profits from exports. Mm-hmm.
But still, I don't know what could have been done about it. We couldn't just let them starve.
Oh, of course not. But there again, recovery and reform seem to have gotten tangled up together for no reason that I can see. I should think the time to try experimental reforms on the age-old law of supply and demand would be when things were at their best, and we could afford to try out new theories instead of when they're at their worst.
It's not reasonable, but nobody seems to care about reason.
Businessmen and the farmers both realize that the prosperity machine is stalled. Can't be started by administering too rich a mixture of centralized control and foreign theories of upsetting natural economic laws.
Yes, but until the politicians realize that, I suppose we have to sit tight and let the theorists have their little hour of fun.
And do our bit with the Herald. We can at least make them stop and consider before following blindly after the soapbox orators.
Yes, like Windy Bill. Yeah. Say, by the way, where is Windy?
Well, that's right. Uncle Windy hasn't shown up. I expected him to be at the station right out in front in his best form.
Well, my dear, I'm happy to announce that apparently Windy has left these parts.
Well, no.
All right. Yeah, he hasn't been seen since his latest little deal backfired on him and hit him in the eye.
We haven't even spoken his name for days for fear he'd materialize on the front porch.
Yes, I got my fingers crossed right now.
I thought I'd never make it.
Good heavens, why didn't they send a truck?
Well, they didn't have one. I had to carry this whole gallon all the way.
Well, that'll be enough to get us home.
That's terrible.
Goodness, I've got to get dinner started.
Oh, Mother, couldn't Dick and I stop off at our house a minute first? I've been just crazy to see it. All the way back, I've been working on curtains, and I've just got to see how they're going to look.
The curtains?
Yeah, they're lovely. Orange and blue. I got them in Salt Lake City. I have the measurements with me, so I thought it... Well, what's the matter?
Why, nothing.
Myra, didn't you say that you'd put up some curtain...
Excuse me, dear. I didn't mean to hit you. I did put up some curtains, just temporarily, but they were old ones.
But Myra, you said... Ouch.
Mr. Robinson, I think that's a domestic signal. I've learned that much already.
Oh, well, perhaps you're right. But I haven't done anything.
No, but I just sit tight and say nothing. You can't go wrong that way.
Yeah. Oh, Dick, there it is. There it is. And it's even sweeter than I thought. Oh, we'll be along later, Mother. You don't mind, do you?
Why, of course not, dear. And now don't forget to carry her over the door sill, Dick.
I'll make a determined effort.
Yes, you can. Oh, isn't it swell, Dickie?
Very tasty. You know, I think I'll put a few beans in that front yard along the walk.
Not on your life. Huh? That's for tulips.
All right.
Oh, Dick, our own front gate.
And our own front walk.
And our own front porch.
Yes, and our own front door. Oh, say, the key. I haven't even got one.
But I have. A shiny new one.
Oh, no, let me unlock it the first time. After all, I'm the master of this house.
There you are. Now let's see how masterful you are. I don't believe you can carry me over.
Oh, can't I? Well, we'll just see about that.
Well. Welcome home, children. Why, what's the matter, Betty? Sprain your ankle?
Uncle Windy.
And so the bride and groom came home. And what a homecoming it was. Where did Windy come from? And more important, is this just a social visit? Or has he another scheme up his sleeve? Join us in our next program and see. Until then, goodbye. The American Family Robinson, which is broadcast regularly over this station, is written by Douglas Silver and Marjorie Bartlett, directed by Martha Atwell, and produced by the National Industrial Council.